I've ever known. And I'm 73 now. I may have heard this expression before I came here, but if I did, I don't remember it. But I've known it ever since I came here. Sister George used to say, the problem with most false churches is that they put the cart before the horse. And they try to have a liveless, inanimate object like a cart, pulling a live horse. And I think the scripture fully validates that expression, where she said, most religious people try to put the cart before the horse. So I'm going to talk about walking with God. And there's only one way you can walk with God. You have to walk with God by faith. And you can't walk by God with faith unless you've been justified by faith. But a lot of people try to put the cart before the horse. They think you become just by walking with God. They think you become just by your good works or by being baptized. And that's their perfect God-given right to believe that. But according to Scripture, that just isn't true. A man is not just because he walks with God. A man has to be made just by God before he's even capable of walking with God. The basis of most false churches is the practice of putting the cart before the horse. I thought of Sister George as I was making this up. They believe a man is made just by his works. They see a man give to the community. They see a man give to the hurricane fund. They see a man that's kind to poor people. They see a man of good moral character. And they say, there's a just man. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The only way a man or woman can ever be classified as a just man or woman is if God justifies them. They cannot justify themselves, but most false churches teach that you can. They believe a man is made just by his works, by his actions in the flesh, by his natural born actions, by his good character. They believe that becoming just has to have baptism added to the spiritual new birth. And they believe that by your physical body, you carrying it up into that water and letting somebody immerse it to picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that they're saved by the water itself. But unless they were saved by their faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ before they enter that water, they don't know Jesus. And they're not just. They're not justified. This is a common mistake. It's very human-oriented. It's extremely carnal. And that's why it's so easy to believe. They believe a man is made just by his works, by his actions in the flesh, by his natural-born actions, by his good character. Why, he's a good old boy. Everybody likes him. He's a fine old boy. He takes fish to people, and he's just a wonderful person. Surely he's going to heaven. He's not going to heaven unless he's been made just by God, by a spiritual act of God. A man can only be made just by God when the man is born again by God. You say, well, if he'll do all this stuff, then God will give him the new birth. No, no. He has to come to God just like he is, an unjustified, ungodly sinner, and trust in Jesus, and Jesus justifies him by his own righteousness. A just man is made a just man by God. It is God alone that makes a man just. If you think by your own personal character and ability, you can be justified by your acts and become a just man or woman, forgive me, you're headed straight for hell. Because it's Jesus that saves. It's the new birth by God that gives you his son implanted in you, and that's the only righteousness you have or ever will have. There is none righteous, no, not one. Jesus is the only man who lived righteous from birth to death. He has to impute his righteousness to you, and he has to make you just. Only a just man can perform the works that God calls good. That's why I told the rich young ruler, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good save God." If you don't have Christ implanted in you by the new birth from above, by repentance of your sin and trusting in Christ for your salvation, you can't do good works, no matter how hard you try. Because it has to be Christ's Spirit living inside you that motivates you to perform the act that was directed by Him personally inside you. And He gets the glory, He gets the credit, He gets the recognition, and all you did was go along for the ride. It is God that makes a man able to perform good works. You have to be born again to perform good works. There's no other way you can do it. If you think you can, you're self-righteous. You're a hypocrite. You're trying to make yourself just before God. And it's God that has to justify you and make you just. We don't earn the right to walk with God. We don't earn the right to walk with God. God spiritually saves us to make us capable to walk with Him. You have to be born again from above by God in order to be capable to walk by faith. You can't walk by faith unless God Himself justifies you. Please God by walking by faith. How can you walk by faith if you haven't been saved by faith? How can you walk if you haven't been justified by God? Please God by walking by faith. You please God by repenting of your sins and coming to Him and trusting Him to save you from what you are, a worthless, ungodly sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And it's a matter of repentance and faith. Paul told the people when he preached, testifying both to the Jew and to the Greek, repentance toward God, turning to God, acknowledging your sinful condition. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. When a man repents toward God, puts his faith in Jesus Christ to save him, and calls on His name for salvation, then that man is just. Because he has been justified by God, and not by his own works or his own ability or his own natural character or quality. Romans 3, 25 through 28. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, a total atonement, a one-time offering, a one-time sacrifice. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. I don't have any faith in my baptism for salvation. I don't have any faith in my works for salvation. I have faith in the one-time blood offering sacrifice of the only righteous man who ever lived, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm saved. I'm justified by faith in Christ's blood. Two, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith, to declare His righteousness. You have none except the righteousness of Christ that's imputed to you. And if you think you can build up some after you got saved that's your own, you're wrong. Because it's that righteous man living in you that works in you, and he is the one who performs the works, and you get rewarded for what he led you to do. And God gets the glory to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins. Do you think God had two plans of salvation? Do you think He had an Old Testament plan of salvation and a New Testament plan of salvation? The New Testament merely explains what the Old Testament was not clear on. People have always been saved by grace through faith. Do you think that Abraham was saved for any other reason except the sacrifice of Christ? You say, well, Abraham didn't even know Christ. You're absolutely right. But when that blood trickled down the cross, that blood was shed for, believe it or not, Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham. You say, no, they were saved in a different way. No, my friend. All those sins in the Old Testament were a kafar, the word for atonement in the Old Testament. It means a covering. It means that all those animal sacrifices never took away sin. The book of Hebrews makes that very clear. And it means that when Christ came, those sins that had been covered by the kafar, a covering, temporarily, until the true sacrifice was made on the cross in Christ, not one single sin was ever completely washed away. But when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all sins, past, present, and future. That's grace. That's what false believers and false churches just cannot seem to grasp. That God is that loving and that merciful. He died for the sins of the past, the present, and the future. And when Jesus died on the cross, you were still future, and all your sins were still future. That's what he's talking about when he says, for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. God forbore all those sins and kafarred them. He covered them until Jesus came. And when Jesus came, the covering was lifted. All the sin was swept out from underneath all those animal sacrifices, which could never take away sin. And one lone, single, solitary man hanging there alone on that cross took the sins of all men who ever lived, who would put their faith in the promised seed who was to come that was given in Genesis 3:15. And that promised seed crushed the head of the serpent and broke the power of Satan over men. And anyone that puts their faith in the blood sacrifice of Christ and his life and his righteousness for the remission of their sins is just before God. They are made just by Christ, not by their own works or their own efforts. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. You know why I'm righteous? God gave me his son's righteousness. That's the only reason I'm righteous. That he might be just. God had to do it his way because God's way is the only way. It's not man's way. And man's way is what you see in most of the false churches. They teach you can lose your salvation. They teach you're justified by your works. They teach you have to add it on to what Christ did on the cross. They have a multiplicity of things. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. You have none. That he might be just, God might be just in doing it, not according to the way you think, but the way God thinks. And the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. I'm just. You say, well, I don't like your ways. You don't do this, you don't do that. Well, I'm just. You say, well, why are you just? I've been justified by Christ because I believe and trust in his blood. He says, where's boasting then? It's excluded. Yeah, I got baptized. Man, I went down in that water and I did this and I did that. And I've been going to church three times a week, and I give, and I do this. Quack, 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 quack. Sound just like the Pharisee. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not as other men, even as this publican. And then he went through a long tirade of everything he did. Where's boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude. Read it. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified without the deeds of the law and the actual bar mitzvah. The mitzvah itself, the mikvah, was an immersion that they had before they went on the Temple Mount. You're not saved by baptism. You're not saved by your works, by any form of God's law or commandment. You're saved because one lone, single, solitary man, Jesus Christ, is the only one who kept every jot and tittle of the law without error and lived a perfect, sinless life. I'm justified by my faith in his righteousness and his sacrifice and his blood alone. If you try to add to that or take away from it, I really question whether you know Jesus or not. Because I'm free. If this sounds crazy to you, it's because you've never been set free. You don't know what it means to be set free from sin. You say, well, Brother Mark, you could just go and do anything you want. Do you see me chasing women? Do you see me running around lying to everybody in town? Do you see me not coming to church? Do you see me not giving? Do you see me not doing anything? But why do I do them? I don't do them to stay saved or to keep saved or to be saved. I don't do them to justify myself. I was justified by the blood of Christ, and he lives in me. And I don't do these things to be saved or to stay saved. I do them because I am saved. I am justified before the Lord. That sound crazy to you? You better really think about it. Because if it sounds crazy to you, you may not know him at all. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. A just man is one who is justified totally by his faith in the blood of Christ as the full atonement for all his sins. Only that man is capable of walking by faith. You cannot walk by faith unless you've been born from above. You cannot walk by faith unless you've repented of your sins and put all your faith in the blood sacrifice of Christ. Because you are not just. You have not been justified. And how can you walk by faith if you don't have a saving faith? Hebrews 10, 38. Well, what about those people that are justified? What about those people that are just? Do they all go to church? Do they all follow the commandment? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more you see as the day approaches. After they get saved, do they all submit to baptism? No. Do they all walk with God? No. Do they all do what God wants? No. Absolutely not. Most of them don't. Being saved is strictly by grace through faith, and God's Son did it all. The hard part is after you've been made just by the blood of Christ, living by faith, walking by faith. How do you think God feels about that? You say, well, God feels this way about it. He'll send them straight to hell if they don't do it. You don't know what it means to be free. You've never been set free. You've never been set free to do what you do for Christ out of love. You do it out of fear, out of retribution. You do it because you don't have faith in Christ. You have faith in your own ability to maintain what he gave you by grace. Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back. Take a look at our church roll. You think everybody on there is lost? We've got a church roll of about 213 or so. Maybe 223, I don't know. It's over 200. How many of them are faithful? How many of them come? How many of them give? How many? Not very many. You say, well, all those other people are going to hell. You don't understand salvation by grace. Because if you believe that, then you never were saved. You don't know him. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back. Draw back from what? Draw back from living by faith. How can you live by faith if you haven't been saved by faith? He's talking about drawing back from walking with God. And I'll be honest and straightforward and blunt. Most people that get saved draw back from walking with God. Don't they? So what happens? Does he send them to hell? My soul shall have no pleasure in him. How can God have pleasure in a man that he's saved by grace through faith, who's eternally sealed and headed for heaven, if the man, after he's saved, won't do what he's capable of doing, walking by faith? He doesn't take back his salvation. He doesn't leave him or forsake him. But he certainly doesn't have any pleasure in him. And when he comes before the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to stand there, and he's saved. He's not going to hell. He's been saved, yet so is by fire. And he'll get to go to heaven. But if you think he's going to have a white robe in heaven, if you think God is going to reward that man and he's going to live right next door to Jesus Christ in the holy city, the New Jerusalem, which is three-fifths the size of the United States, you've got another thing coming. If you think that God is going to treat everybody just the same in heaven, you haven't studied your Bible. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That was written to a church at Galatia. And you're going to reap what you sow. Well, how do you sow? You walk with God. How do you walk with God? You obey God. That's why I was baptized. That's walking with God. I submitted to baptism because God commanded me to be baptized in the 10th chapter of Acts. Peter commanded them to be baptized. I wasn't baptized to be saved. I was baptized because that's a part, that's the first step in a walk with God. I didn't start attending church regularly. I waited until I was 38 years old. I'm no prize example. I didn't surrender to preach. God called me. I didn't start trying to live for Christ till I was 38 years old. Don't tell me God had pleasure. He didn't have pleasure in it. I believe he does now. How much? Well, not as much as he should, because I'm not the perfect preacher. I'm not the perfect man. But the truth of the matter is, there are an awful lot of people that are saved, that are capable of walking with God, but they won't. Make no mistake about it. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And when you come before the judgment seat of Christ to reap your reward, which will be for all eternity, for 1,000 years of millennial reign and all eternity, don't expect anything more than what you were willing to yield to Christ in walking with God. The purpose of works is for reward. It's not for salvation. But God is certainly not pleased with those children of his who he has saved by grace through faith, and they simply won't walk with him. They won't come to church. They won't give. They won't do a lot of things. And that's what walking with God is. It's obeying God. It's unfortunate, but nevertheless, it's the case. Walking with God and the saints. Salvation is an absolute gift, bought and paid for with the blood of Christ. It's given to those who repent of what they are, acknowledging their sinful condition and putting all their faith in Christ. Paul testified this from house to house, testifying both to the Jew and Greek, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 20:21. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If after you went to Christ and got saved, you think God's going to just jerk it away from you, just what kind of a God is he that gives you a gift and then yanks it back? God does not take back something that he gave by unmerited favor just because you didn't continue to follow him. But make no mistake, those people in heaven with glorified bodies, many of them are going to live outside the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. And not everybody is going to have a glorious outer garment. There are differences in heaven. And the Bible, all of it has to be taken. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Here's what justifies a man. It's the only justification I have. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Must. Again means from above. I was born from above 61 years ago. What happened? I repented of my sins, acknowledged to myself and to God that I'm a worthless piece of sin and ungodly man. And I went to Christ, and I put all my faith in him, and he saved me. You say, well, how do you know you're saved? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I call on the name of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. You must be saved, and it must be God's way, and it must be by the name of his Son. And no other name will God accept. And God won't accept your works for salvation. You can't work for God until after you've been born from above, until after you've repented of your sins and put your trust in Jesus. Then God sends the Spirit of his Son in your heart. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. I was born of corruptible seed. I had a wonderful mother. She was saved. She knew the Lord. But my mother was born a sinner just like me. And you may not like to admit you're a sinner. You may like to think you're a cut above. You're just a rotten sinner like all the rest of us. We're all in the same boat. We're all born sinners. And we are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are natural born sinners. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. I was born of a corruptible seed of Marshall Abner McElmurray and Bly Lane McElmurray. But 61 years ago, I was born again spiritually by an incorruptible seed. It was the Word of God which was transplanted in my heart. It lives and abides forever. It won't jump in and out. And it's there in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who God spiritually transplanted in me by grace through faith. I put my faith in him, having no faith in myself or anyone else except Jesus. And I called on him to save me, and he saved me. How long did he save me? Forever. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. You can go through all sorts of manipulations to adjust yourself. You can go in the darkest Africa and devote your whole life working in a pygmy tribe, and they can cut your head off and torture you and kill you before they do, and you've devoted your whole life to helping those people, and you're going to end up in hell. Because a man is not justified by the works of the flesh or by his own intrinsic goodness that he supposedly inherits at birth, physical birth. He's justified by the only man who ever lived a perfect, sinless life, and everything he ever did was for the right reason and for the right person and the right thing. It is the spirit that quickeneth the flesh, profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I was born again. When I heard the word of God, it convicted my heart of my own unrighteousness, my own sinfulness. And I knew I was hell bound, and I had tried for 4 years from age 8 to 12. I'd tried everything I knew to please God. And I was just as miserable after that 4 years. Finally, I just gave it all up and realized that the only way I was going to be saved was if Jesus in his infinite mercy and love, by his amazing grace, would save somebody as bad as I was. And I believed that word. It was incorruptible. I repented of my sins and I trusted in Jesus. Here's what happened. Even when we were dead in sin, I was born spiritually dead in sin. I didn't know that. I didn't understand how spiritually dead I was. I just knew that there was something bad wrong with me, and I lied and everything else, and I was self-centered, self-concerned, still am in the flesh. But when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. I was buried with Christ, resurrected with Christ, and now Christ lives in me. Hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Galatians 2, 20, 21. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's what happened to me. Does Christ live in you? You say, well, it doesn't work that way. It does work that way. And once he comes to live in you, he stays on you like a duck on a June bug. Now, you have a conscience, even when you're lost. And God does bother you through that conscience. But when you get saved, he bothers you through this word. You know, this word is the main reason people don't continue to come to church after they get saved. They don't like the word. They get saved by it, lose their fear of hell, but Christ lives in them. That's what quickened together means. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He said, I'm resurrected in him. And the life I now live in the flesh, you want to see what walking with God is? And the life which I now live in the flesh, here you are, here I am, we're living in the flesh. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're living in the flesh. I now live in the flesh, and here's the walk. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You come to church because this man loved you and died for you. You come to church because you want to please him. You don't come to church because you like the mannerisms of the pastor. You don't come to church because you like this and you like that, and you like the programs and you like this and you like that. You don't come to church because you just feel good there. You come to church, are supposed to come to church, because Christ loved you and gave himself for you, and you know it. And then you work in church. Then you do things in church. And you do them for the right reason. God doesn't have to please you. You're supposed to please God. I warn you, as the oracles of God, you're being held accountable for what you see and what you hear this morning, whether you accept it or not. Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If you can add baptism to Christ to stay saved or to be saved, if you can add good works to Christ to get saved or to stay saved, then Jesus died in vain. Jesus paid the full price for all your sins on the cross. If you don't recognize that, If you don't realize in your heart that the only reason you're going to heaven is because of Christ and what he did, and your faith in his ability and not your own, you're headed straight for hell. Ephesians 2:10. What is the new birth? What is all this quickened together? All this spirit quickening? All this incorruptible seed? Remember Ephesians 2:8 and 9? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, well, how do you know that's the new birth? Let's look at the next verse. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship. Who is God? God is a spirit. What does God's spirit do? Spiritual work. What is the new birth? It's God's workmanship on an individual that repents of their sins and trusts in Jesus. Well, we are his workmanship. What is the new birth? Who did it? God. What did he do? He created you in Christ Jesus. He put you in Christ Jesus when you repented of your sins and when you trusted in Christ. Why did he do it? Unto good works. God did not save you by good works. God does not keep you by good works. God saved you by grace through faith so that Christ could work in you and Christ could perform the works. And if you think that when you get before the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be rewarded because you are such a good, basic person. The only good work you've ever performed in your life is because Christ in you led you to do it. And in the end, all honor and glory belong to Christ. And where do you give glory to God? For Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So if you treat the church like an old dirty rag, and it's just something you come to because of a sense of duty, you've missed the whole point of serving God. You're supposed to love God because he first loved you. And if Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, what hinders us from doing the same? That's what a walk with God is, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. You know what walking with God is? Well, you have to be saved first. And then that qualifies you because he creates you in Christ Jesus. And then you can walk with God because you have Christ in you. And he's leading you along the walk. And if he loved the church so much he gave himself for it, then why can't you find the time to be faithful in church? 2 Corinthians 5:5-7. You say, well, how do you know it's God's workmanship? Look what God did. Why he saved you. 2 Corinthians 5:5-7. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit, the actual earnest of the Spirit, the assurance of the Spirit forever. Since God, we are his workmanship, since he wrought us for the same thing, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Christ lives in me. God put him there. God put me in Christ. And Ephesians says, I sit in heavenly places. I have a spiritual bond with Christ that will never be broken. Nothing can ever separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And it's by grace. I don't have to walk with him. Some people never try to walk with him. They never even make the effort. I'll promise you one thing. If you ever start trying and have enough spiritual gumption to keep on trying, you're going to fall in love with him. And you're going to love coming to church. You're going to love worshiping God. But many people never really fall in love with Jesus after he saves them because they've got all they want. Salvation, the assurance of it, and they've got their family and their home and the things of the world, and that's the primary focus of their life, not serving God in his local church. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. For God took him. That's one of the things. I don't know why those always go off at the invitation. Kind of strange. Well, that ends that. Will you turn the lights on, Bob? We're going to have an invitation. If you want to serve God, Come on. If you want to trust in Jesus Christ, come on. If you want to be baptized and take the first step of obedience, come on. Don't come to me. Come to the Spirit of God you saw in those verses. What number?